Take out your notes with me as we continue, and I'm going to have you take a look at the very top of your notes, and let's read that scripture again. Read it with me as Paul stops at a mile marker and again begins to teach us about love. Read it with me, go. "And this I pray, that your love will abound still more and more in the real knowledge and all discernment." Why? "So that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ." He says, "I pray that your love will abound more and more and more." In other words, he was saying, my love that was in the beginning can't stay that way. It's got to grow. It's got to grow. In fact, would you write in your notes, our love has to grow up. Hey, remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that love chapter, he said this, "When I was a child, I thought like a child. I spoke as a child. I even reasoned as a child. But then I grew up and I had to put away childish things because I had to grow in my love. And now I've got to not reason like a child. I have to reason more maturely." And the whole chapter's about love. And he's saying, as I grow, my love has to grow. Otherwise, we can still say the word love, but it's a junior high love. It is a selfish love. Paul is saying our love has to grow up. I mean, when I first met Anna, my wife, my heart would start to beat real fast. My hands would get clammy. My blood pressure would rise. Now, this year we'll be married 40 years. And if my hands get clammy when I look at her and my heart starts to race and my blood pressure rises, it's because I'm having a heart attack. But it doesn't mean I love her any less. And I did, you understand? I have to grow in my love. So it may look a little bit different, but actually I love her more. Our love has to grow. And the same is true with marriage, is true with everything else. In fact, we hear that the Lord says through the person of Paul in Philippians 1:9, remember, he says, "This I pray, that your love abound," what? More and more. And then he talks about in 1 Thessalonians, not just for a marital situation, but for everyone. Read this together with me, would you? Go. "Increase and abound in love for one another." See, the qualities of love. It's a whole lot more than just emotion that used to be over here. Tied with something sexual or attractive or alluring. You've got to grow out of that to something that's going to sustain our families and our future. Because if we keep it here and your love does not abound more and more, you're going to settle for a far lesser quality that's not buildable. And I want you to know right now, that kind or poor quality of love is being pandered and sold to people of all ages. And just because it's the word love does not mean it's a high quality of love. It's a very poor quality of love. We understand that. High quality versus low quality. And you have to make a decision. You have to be discerning and approve what is excellent and what is not. And that's what Paul is saying. You see that all the time. I'm going to give you some examples of quality, what you can get or what you don't need to get. But what you must get if you understand qualities, and you don't want to mix these up. Let's say you're a parent. Your son just gets his driver's license, so you want to help him get a car. What quality? Well, one would be something like this. It's called a McLaren. That has a cool price tag of $239,000. I'm sure he would like that. But instead you say, you know, we don't need that quality for something like that. No, here's the quality you need. It's a Geo, $900 used. That's enough. How many of you would say, I think I'd rather get that than the other one for my kid just getting a driver's license? Good, all right. Now your wife says, honey, we're going to go to baptism today. I need new slippers because I don't have any slippers to go to the beach. Well, you can go to Long's and you get one for $4.99. Rabba slipper. Or you can get the same kind of slipper, but this is called a Chipko hand-painted slipper by an artist named David Palmer. The price tag on these slippers, believe it or not, $1,800. So you say, well, what kind of quality do you need? You say to your wife, we're going back to Long's. And so we'll just kind of hold off on this one. Well, what about brakes? Brakes, there's all kind of quality of brakes. The brakes that you're going to need, now they are all called brakes, all right? But the quality that you'll need for a little scooter like this called a Razor is just one. And you're just fine, but the same quality of brakes for a carload of these treasures that you're going to go across the United States for a vacation, you want the highest quality of brakes you can get. You understand? And if you don't understand the differences in quality, you're going to settle for something really low, and when it comes time where you need it, it will fail. But the danger is if you're buying this because it's being pandered wholesale and you don't or you cannot approve what is excellent or not. It happens all over, and especially in families. You can settle for a cheap love, one that's not very expensive. But will it really sustain families that are going to raise their children and to be friends that'll carry out through the generations? You better get the highest quality love that you can get. And right now, in our society, there's a very cheap love that's being sold. And just because it's the word love does not mean it's love. So you want to make sure that if you're going to define the quality of certain loves, you want to make sure that you define it correctly. Paul the Apostle says that there's really two qualities of love. And in that same verse, and we'll just stick pretty much with that verse, he says there's a higher quality of love. And what is that? He said it is a discerning or a knowledgeable and discerning love. A knowledgeable, a love that's knowledgeable. I understand. I know the context. I know what's going on. Oh, I might have the emotions and I might have the hormones, but I got to have a knowledgeable love. You've got to be careful because if you're not, you're going to say, well, I've got the emotions for this. But if it's not a knowledgeable love, it will break down very quickly and leave many people in the path of destruction, you included. Well, I just love her. Most young guys, they've got more hormones than they got brains. Did you know that they say men fall in love on the average 4 times a day? I'm in love. I'm in love. Oh, wait a minute. No, I'm not. Now I am. It's like, get real. So if we're not careful, we will settle for a poor quality of love. Write that down, a poor quality of love, and that is one that lacks knowledge and is not a discerning love. You see, if he's saying, I want your love to grow and grow, still more, abound more and more in all discernment, all knowledge, all discernment, if there is a love that is knowledgeable, not ignorant, knowledgeable, and discerning, which means I know excellence from something that is not excellent. It's a discerning love. If there's a quality of love that's knowledgeable and discerning, there's also a love that could be not very knowledgeable and not very discerning. And you don't want to mix those two up. It'll be one of the worst mistakes you'd make. But please be careful, because what you're seeing out there, and especially if you're a young lady or young man, the best time to learn it is now, not later. Because you see, all kinds of loves are allowed today. You can go ahead and sleep with whomever you want to, or there's no law against that. You can even do it in an immoral way. There's no law against that. You're allowed to do that. But you want to be careful on that, because I tell you, what an excellent love is a love that says, you know what? I'm going to trade what is allowed to gain what is excellent. Write that in. Because I'm allowed to do that. I can do whatever. Well, you can, you know, go with this guy because, you know, you can do it. Yeah, you want to do it just because you can? You want to do that just because you can? And then you settle in for something and it takes its roots on you. And it takes you, like Don, sometimes 30 years to get out of that. And think of all of the pain and torture and suffering in the meantime. So you want to see if you can say, God, would you teach me a love that is excellent? What is a love that's excellent? Well, a love that's excellent is I trade in for what I can do and I'm allowed to do to gain what is excellent. Because if you're not careful, most of the loves that we have today are what we call a selfish love. It's a lower quality love versus a higher, but it starts off quite selfish because we're selfish people. So it's kind of like the cat, right, that rubs its leg on your leg, rubs its back on your leg, meow, meow, and it goes in and out of your legs, and you say, man, this cat just loves me so much. The cat doesn't love you. It's loving itself off your leg is what it's doing. It's loving itself off of you. You see, and if we're not careful, we'll say, oh, that thing loved me. No, that boy doesn't love you. Loves itself. And we see that in the story of this wife that brought her husband to the doctor and said, doctor, my husband is so listless. He doesn't want to do nothing. He's passive, just sits there, glazes into the universe like he's nothing, nobody home. What's wrong? So the doctor looks at the husband and says, can I just talk to your husband? Would you wait in the waiting room? She said, yeah, whatever. So she goes out. And the doctor talks with him, calls her back in, says, sir, could you wait in the car? And I'd like to talk to your wife. He said, okay. So he goes out to the car, sits in the passenger seat waiting for his wife. And the doctor looks at the wife and says, your husband could die. She said, what? Yeah, of what? Of a lack of love. Huh? Yeah, a lack of true love. What are you talking about? He said, you're going to have to start loving him. Why? Well, because if he starves without love, he'll die. Well, what do I have to do? Well, when he comes home, like, kiss him. It's gross. No, just kiss him. And then take his shoes off, put slippers on him, and give him a massage. Let him know that you love him. Bring him something to drink. A few minutes later, she walks to the car, opens the driver's side, closes the door, sits behind the steering wheel, and the husband said, honey, what did the doctor say? She looked at him and said, he said, you're going to die. Selfish love. They break down. But the Bible says that we need to prove what is excellent. The reason you need a higher quality of love is so that you can prove what's excellent. This is excellent, that's not. This is a good quality, that's not. And if you're not careful, you'll settle for the wrong quality of love, and it's never going to be buildable. It will break down. And that kind of love, that's a quality love, it says this. Would you read it? Go. Love believes the best in all, and there is no limit to her hope. Yeah. You have to be able to have that kind of love. And Paul is saying, before we even start in Philippians, we're going to define love. Because it's going to be sold to you. It's a very poor quality of love. It's a knockoff. And because we want to love so much, because we're selfish, we need love. We're going to accept anything and it will destroy you. It'll be called love, but it's not. A guy came to me and he said, Pastor, you know, my girlfriend, I'm so in love with her. I'm so in love. I said, man, it seems like, oh, yeah. She said, I mean, when I see her, she makes me break into a sweat. I start shaking all over. And when she's gone, I feel weak and faint and sick. I said, brother, you're not in love. You got the flu. We can define it incorrectly, can't we? But the Bible says that when you have the right kind of love, you'll be able to approve what is excellent, which means that it's not a good love. It's knowledgeable and discerning, young lady, when the guy says, oh, I love you. And then if you think that's real love, the next step is, if you love me, then you will fill in the blank. It's a selfish love. That love is not going to sustain your future. It will wrestle the best out of you and leave you like a dirty wash rag. Don't fall for that. That you might approve what is excellent because it's knowledgeable and discerning in order that you might be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. The word sincere is an interesting word. Because when you catch the right kind of love, and you pass on what is allowed in order to gain what is excellent, the Lord says, then you're going to have something called a sincere life. What's sincere? A sincere love. Well, what is sincere? Let me tell you, it's a very interesting Greek word. It's a Greek word, helikrino. Helikrino is the word for sincere. And you say, what is that? It's very interesting. Helios is the Greek word for sun. Sun, helios. Krino is a word to test, judge, to test. And so the word sincere actually comes from the word sun tested. You say, where's that from? It's actually in those days, here, let me tell you the story, the etymology of this word. And then we get the word sincere, and that's actually translated from a Latin word, sine sera, is sincere. And even that word comes from this Greek. And let me tell you how it matches. Very intriguing. In the olden days, they used to make these vases that were the most beautiful of all vases ever made, almost porcelain-like, where you could actually see light come through it. It wasn't opaque. Its opacity was great so that you can see sun coming through, light coming through. I mean, it's gorgeous, very expensive. However, to make that vase, it was extremely difficult because those who were the potters, if they would take it out too quickly or too late and leave it in too long, or if it cooled too fast, little fissures and cracks would form in the vase, which would ruin it. And so the honest potters would actually break those up and throw it away. And maybe out of 12, only 2 would have no cracks or fissures or hairlines in it. But they'd have to get rid of 10. And then these 2, then, as you can see, they'd become very, very precious and very, very expensive. However, the dishonest dealers would see the cracks and fissures, and what they would do is they would take wax and they would mix it into the same color as that vessel or that vase and actually put wax in all of the cracks and buff it out, and then they would sell it, and a purchaser unawares would go, oh, this is great, and would pay a very high price for a flawed vase. However, if this person were knowledgeable, they would take it outside and hold it into the sun. And the sun would shine through it, and they would see the hairline cracks that were filled in with wax. The Latin word where we get sincere from is sine sera. You know what sine sera means? Sine is without sera, without wax. Came from being sun tested. And so the honest dealers would put the vases out there, and they put a little placard out there, sine sera vases. Because they knew that the dishonest ones were putting wax in it to fool you. You would think it's very expensive, but it was very cheap, and it would break. And in the heat of the sun, the wax would start to melt, and you realize you can't put anything into this. And what God is saying is, when you understand the quality of love, it will deem you sincere, or your love will be sun tested. You'll be able to stand the heat of the kitchen and the tough times that you'll go through and the valleys that you'll go through. Not only will it be sun tested and without wax, so it's usable, but when your love is seen by others, they'll see the light of the sun coming through, that it's not your love, it's got to be God's. You've got to be, it's a quality of love that this earth doesn't give, and this earth doesn't try to sell wholesale. It's a very precious love, and that's the kind of love that Ua Mau Ke Ea O Ka Aina Ika Pono is saying, that the life of our land will be perpetuated with love that's sun tested, it's righteous, it's good. But if we're not careful, we'll settle for a knockoff because everybody's saying, buy this, and lasts in the beginning, and then it breaks down forever. The first is that you be sincere, and the second is that you be blameless. Now, blameless is an interesting word too. As I was studying that word, it really means someone that is not easy to trip up. Blameless means cannot trip them up. Can't fool them. There's no part of their love that's imbalanced. It's kind of like the judo stance. If you're balanced, when someone tries to push you from this angle or that angle or this angle or whatever angle, there's a stability to you. You're not easily imbalanced. Not easy to trip because there's a balance to it. If you are off balance, you can push here, but right there, whoop, there you go. The word blameless means, here it is, would you write it down? Not easily defeated. Not easy to defeat. That's why the scripture says, in order that you might be sincere and what? Blameless. Sincere, no wax. People can see Jesus through you. Sun tested. And blameless. You're going to be hit from all sides. Mark my words, especially in this day. Your marriage with financial setbacks, problems at home. You're going to be buffeted by the winds and the storms and the currents from all sides. But when you understand the excellence of God's love, you'll be hard to defeat. I think one of the neatest examples of people that were hard to defeat were David's 30 mighty men. Oh man, I love this. See, David was known as the most elite guerrilla warfare expert in the world at that time. You could not defeat him. If he's out in the forest, don't go into the forest trying to get him. He will defeat you. But it wasn't just David that was a mighty warrior. It was his 30 mighty men that were skilled and capable. Their acuity at military prowess was unmatched. And in this portion of Scripture, we find one of the descriptions of one who is not easily defeated. Now, I want you to read. It's in your notes there. Would you read this with me? Go. These were among the mighty men who helped him in war. They were equipped with bows, using both the right hand as well as the left to sling stones and shoot arrows from the bow. Now, I looked at that and I thought, man, these guys could throw a spear with a right hand and then throw it as just as accurate with a left hand. They sling with right, left, bow and arrow, or this way, doesn't matter. I thought they developed their skills so much that you couldn't defeat them. I mean, he's throwing a spear, gets another spear, a guy cuts his arm off, he gets his left hand, kills a guy. Slingshot, whack, whack, bang, cuts his arm off. Boom, I'll kill you too. Doesn't matter. It's like, you can't defeat these guys. And in the same way, the Lord says the enemy's going to come at you from very subtle angles. But if you've discerned the quality of love necessary and not settle for anything less, you can see a sign and you know that's not the love that you want to settle for. No. Someone over here, I love you, or love this, or love that. We want to love. What's wrong with love? That quality of love, tons of things wrong with it. Just because the English language doesn't have all the different words like Greek does, eros, agape, phileo, storge, they have four words for love. Eros is more of an erotic love based on sight and feel. Then you have storge. It's a love between a mother and her child. That kind of love. It's a different love. Then you have phileo love. It's a love between friends, like a Jonathan and David love. It's a strong friendship love for a lifetime. And then agape. It's a love of choice. I will love you, and there's nothing you can do about it, no matter what storms come my way. That's the highest level of love. That's called God's love. And if you're not careful, you'll settle for this rather than for this and think it's the same. It's a universe apart. And so God says, in order for you to be sincere and blameless, you're going to hit some storms coming up in the future, and it'll only be the highest form of love that'll be able to sustain you. I want you, in closing, to take a look at this short video of about 3 minutes of a love that took a lifetime to develop. But you'll hear at the end the source of this man's love. He's either from Great Britain or from Australia, so you'll discern an accent. But I want you to see the precious quality of this highest love. It's a love of choice. This is the kind of love from the source that you'll hear. It'll just be a quick one. You'll hear the source of that love. That's the kind of love we need in Hawaii and around the world, in New Hope and in our families and amongst one another. Let's take a look at this kind of a quality of love, and you'll begin to understand that's the definition of love. Let's look.
I don't count it a burden, whatever, to have to care for her. I need to do everything. From the moment she gets up to the moment she goes to bed, I do absolutely everything. I clean her teeth, I shower, dress, everything. And but it's a privilege. I count it a great privilege to care for this one that I've loved all of these years and continue to love. This is the year when we'll celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary. Our stories have been a lovely story. I first saw her when she was 8 years old, and her brother became my best friend. And we grew up together, and as we grew up, yeah, she was there. And I knew that she used to stare at me when I was playing footy with her brother and another friend, and when we used to ride bikes, and she kept staring at me, but I wasn't interested. I was 17, she was 16. I saw her dolled up, dressed up, and she had an A-line dress on, and boom, it was gone. She was the one for me then, absolutely. When we first started dating, I used to ride my bike from where I lived to where she was, and that was about 5 kilometres on a Saturday afternoon, because it was the only chance we had to get together. And it was hair wash day for her, and she used a special cream in her hair for a shampoo. And I can still smell it, because that smell was so particular, so nice. It was just absolutely special. We had a bike. I used to ride everywhere on my bike, and then Glad had a bike as well. And we put a baby chair on the front of her bike, and so we carried our babies around on the bike with her as well. So, yeah, bike's been part of our lives, and I guess that has something to do with us now. Around about 2004-05, I began to notice that there were things going wrong. She was finally diagnosed with the horrible disease of Alzheimer's. Having lived overseas, I knew that with a bike you can do lots of things. So I had a bike made, a bike chair made. We take it to the beach and ride along beside the beach. And as we do that, we see a lot of people come talk to us, because it's a unique thing. Nobody else has got a bike chair quite like that one. I am determined to care for her every need, every need. You see, God has loved us so unconditionally, and I understand that God has put his love in my heart. And because I realize how much God has loved me, that's how I too can love my lovely wife. She has done so much for me over all of these years. Now she can't, but I can, and I can return her love. And it's a love that, to me, means I can do everything for her. She's my princess, I'm her William, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Would you have it any other way?
No,
not at all. We love each other.
Let's stand together as we conclude. Quality of love. Don't settle for a low quality, like the word break. Brakes. But the brakes you use on a scooter is different from that which you would use on a car filled with your children or your loved ones. You want the highest quality, and we're settling for a low quality upon which we build a future of a country or a people or a marriage. No, we're in for a cataclysmic collision, a breakdown, because there will be buffeting. And yet that love has to be able to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ.